Hello, everybody. This is Dan Trotter, Pretty Good Bible Studies. I am now going to cover Psalms chapter 41. We will call this Psalm, O Lord, Be Gracious to Me. The heading of the psalm says this, For the Director of Music, a Psalm of David. So this was a psalm, a song. It was a musical composition, and it was written by David, if the headers are accurate, which we assume they are. And this is the 40th straight Psalm of David, either because of what the heading says or because of what other scripture says or because of reasonable extrapolation. So we start now in Psalms 41, verses 1 through 3. David says this, How blessed is he who considers the helpless. The Lord will deliver him in a day of trouble. The Lord will deliver the helpless in a day of trouble. The Lord will protect him and keep him alive, and he shall be called blessed upon the earth or upon the land, depending on how you translate that word for earth, Eretz, and do not give him over to the desire of his enemies. The Lord will sustain him upon his sickbed, and his illness you restore him to health. Now the person who is helpless is probably David. He's probably referring to himself. Proverbs 19:17 says this, One who is gracious to a poor man lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his good deed. Lending to the Lord means giving to the Lord because of the charity loans they had back then in the Old Testament system. And so one who is gracious to a poor man is someone who gives him money or makes a charity loan to him and forgives him the interest. And God says that God will repay this gracious man for his good deed. So David concurs with that sentiment. He says in verse 1, How blessed is he who considers the helpless. In other words, someone who helps poor people or helpless people, not just poor people, but helpless people in general, he's going to be blessed by God. God will deliver him in a day of trouble. The Lord will protect him. Here's what Adam Clark says about this. Benevolent persons who consider the poor, and especially the sick poor, who search cellars, garrets, back lanes, and such abodes of misery to find them out, even in the places where contagion keeps its seat, very seldom fall a prey to their own benevolence. The Lord, in an especial manner, keeps them alive and preserves them, while many who endeavor to keep far from the contagion are assailed by it and fall victims to it. Now, the early church was famous for taking care of sick people in a plague when everybody else was dying and running. The Christians would help the sick and the dying, and these horrible plagues that happened in the ancient world and the medieval world. Now, I'm sure the NIV Study Bible would say in verse 2, the Lord will protect him and keep him alive. That's just a general statement because sometimes people die. Well, I don't know. How about the next phrase? He shall be called blessed upon the earth. Is that a general statement that's only true sometimes? Do not give him over to the desire of his enemies. Is that just a general statement that doesn't apply all the time? The Lord will sustain him upon his sick bed. Is that just a general statement? In his illness, you restore him to health. Is that just a general statement? The problem with taking these statements of David concerning the goodness of the Lord and just making them apply a little bit generally, it robs the individual Christian of any comfort from the verses. And so I have a hard time with that. Of course, I realize there are exceptions, probably exceptions to every rule. So I'll be able to go along with those who say these are general blessings, but I would say that the exceptions are exceptions and rather rare. Otherwise, what good are the Psalms if we just say, well, every now and then God will protect us and keep us alive. Every now and then we'll be called blessed upon the earth. Every now and then we will be preserved from the desire of our enemies. Every now and then the Lord will sustain us upon our sickbed. I don't take the Psalms that way. In verse 2, the one who helps the helpless shall be called blessed or happy upon the earth. The NIV uses the translation land, so this one who helps the helpless shall be called blessed upon the land, putting it in the land of Israel. And I suspect David is talking about himself here. Now, once again, this psalm concerns David's enemies. He always talks about his enemies, as we have seen for the last 40 psalms, or so, most of them. For example, here's one in Psalms 27, verse 12. David says, Do not deliver me over to the desire of my adversaries. For false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. Now, as I mentioned before, David is likely describing his own conduct in helping the helpless because he points out that he himself was delivered from his enemies. In other words, I help the helpless, therefore God delivered me from my enemies. And that's what David is claiming here. The Lord will deliver the person, that blessed person who looks after the helpless. And since God has helped me, David says, then that shows that God protects those who help the helpless. David is talking about himself here. He's saying he will be blessed and called blessed upon the earth. He will be protected from his enemies. We'll see in verse 11 in this very psalm, Psalm 41, David will say this, By this I know that you are pleased with me because my enemy does not shout in triumph over me. He's saying, you bail me out, therefore I know that you're not angry with me. My sins have not caused me to stumble. You've delivered me. We go now to Psalms 41, verses 4 through 9. David continues, I said, Lord, be gracious to me, for I have sinned against you. Once again, David doesn't attribute all of his problems merely to his enemies, but also to his own sins. Again, one more verse to cut against the claim that David is acting self-righteous when he talks about his integrity before God, as he has in this very psalm. David continues in verse 5, My enemies speak maliciously about me. When will he die and be forgotten? This is his enemy speaking now. David is now speaking in verse 6, When one of his enemies, comes to visit, he speaks deceitfully. He stores up evil in his heart. He goes out and talks. Well, what does this enemy say? Well, we don't know exactly. Colin Delitzsch speculates that the enemy uses what he has seen in David's presence as material for slander somehow. Colin Delitzsch don't really say how that's done. Barnes speculates a little more particularly. He says this, Perhaps the evil man, the enemy, designs to tell this to the friends of the sufferer. In other words, whatever he has seen of David, he goes out and tells all of his friends. To show them now that they were deceived in the man, that although in the days of his health and in his prosperity he seemed to be a good man, yet that now, when the trial has come and a real test has been applied, all his religion has been found false and hollow. His impatience, his complaining, his murmuring, and his unwillingness to die, all showing that he was a hypocrite and was at heart a bad man. So that's a reasonable speculation. Barnes is saying that David is complaining because things are not going good. His enemies are coming after him. And then his enemies hear that and they say, go out and say, ah, he's just a crybaby, crying all the time. He's acting like Job, acting, complaining because God's not saving him from his troubles. Well, whatever it was, we know it was evil and David is not happy about it. David says in verse 7, Psalm 41, All who hate me whisper together about me. They plan to harm me. 8, lethal poison has been poured into him, and he won't rise again from where he lies. Now, verse 8 is a quote of his enemies. Quotation marks are there. They're not in the original text, but they are in the Holman Christian Study Bible translation. Lethal poison has been poured into him, into David, in other words. He won't rise again from where he lies. Now, the NASB, instead of lethal poison, they had a wicked thing has been poured into David. Here's some options as to what that is. It could be a wicked charge or accusation, as Gill and Jameson Foster Brown suggest. In other words, we accuse David of being a hypocrite and a liar. So that's what the lethal poison is that's been poured into David. Slander. Well, that would be metaphorical, or it could be literal. A disease has been poured into David. The NIV quotes this wicked thing that has been poured into David as, quote, a vile disease. Adam Clark says it's a, quote, pestilence of Belial. A pestilence of Belial is poured out upon him. His disease is of no common sort. It is a diabolical malady. And of course, David would be subject to accusation here because he's already confessed that he sinned. And so I'm sure his opponents are saying, see there, he's a sinner. David says he's a sinner. When will he die and be forgotten? He won't rise again from where he lies. In other words, he's sick. Lethal poison has been poured into him. If we take that literally, which I think it is. And then that's the end of the quote of his enemies. And then David takes up the narrative again in verse 9. He says, Even my friend in whom I trusted, one who ate my bread, has raised his heel against me. Well, let's just interpret this from David's point of view. First, David had somebody who shafted him, raised his heel against him, I guess as a metaphor that means he's trying to kick me. The Bible in Basic English translates it this way. My dearest friend, is turned against me, which sort of takes some of the color out of it. Here's what Cambridge says that this idiom means, turned up his heel against me. Cambridge says that this means that the enemy has exerted himself to trip David up and throw him down. Matthew Poole says this idiom is taken from an unruly horse which kicks at him that owns and feeds him. The horse has lifted up his heel at him. And I think Poole is exactly right because I have seen a horse, it was my horse, who tried to kick me when I was trying to feed him once. He gave me what we call a cow kick. He doesn't kick straight out from behind him, but he kicks sideways when you're not expecting it. And if he hits you with that sideways hoof, he will knock you silly. It's not a pleasant thing. And so David is saying, I've been kicked by people that were my friends, that I fed, that I took care of, and now they're cow kicking me. Now, I know you're more familiar with this verse as it is quoted in the New Testament. We read in John 13:18. Jesus is speaking. This is at the Last Supper, and Jesus says this, "I do not speak of all of you. I know the ones I have chosen, but it is that the scripture may be fulfilled, 'He who eats my bread has lifted up his heel against me.'" That, of course, is referring to Judas. The NASB translation capitalizes, "He who eats my bread has lifted up his heel against me," because it's obviously a quote from Psalms 41, verse 9. Now, Adam Clark says of this phrase that Jesus spoke in John 13, 18, Clark says, "This is not distinctly prophetical, although it's not. Our Savior applies the words to Judas, that the scripture may be fulfilled." Notice Jesus said that, "but it is that the scripture may be fulfilled." So Jesus right there takes what David is speaking about of himself and applies it to Jesus himself. This is, once again, one of those types or fulfillments of the Old Testament where you see David as a type of Jesus, and it's fulfilled by Jesus explicitly in words, so you don't have to speculate about it. It's right there in black and white. Adam Clark says the phrase "that the scripture may be fulfilled," that phrase has a wide use in the New Testament and is not restricted to denote special prophecies. Well, in other words, David wasn't making a prophecy, but Jesus took what he said and applied it to himself, so the Holy Spirit made a type out of it. If you don't call it a prophecy, call it a type. Well, let's look at a couple of options as what is the relationship of David and Jesus. We could say that David is making a direct prophecy of Judas's actions when he says, "He who eats my bread has lifted up his heel against me." I don't think so. I just think he was talking about his own enemies. And then God, Jesus, took the words and applied them to his situation in the New Testament, David not knowing that that was going to happen. So if Psalm 41:9, "He who eats my bread has lifted up his heel against me," is not a direct prophecy by David, what is it? Well, Adam Clark says that Jesus found David's distress so similar to Jesus' distress that Jesus applied David's psalm to himself, and I think that's exactly what happened. Now, what was David talking about originally? Who was his friend that lifted up his heel against David? We don't know for sure, but Adam Clark speculates it could have been Ahithophel, David's trusted advisor, who defected to Absalom during Absalom's conspiracy, as we've already seen back in the books of Samuel. Ahithophel was the mainstay of Absalom's conspiracy. So once again, this is an example of a type that is explicit, clear, and obvious. David is obviously the type, and Jesus is obviously the antitype. So we go now to Psalms 41, verses 10 through 13. David says, "But you, O Lord, be gracious to me, and raise me up, that I may repay them. By this I know that you are pleased with me, because my enemy does not shout in triumph over me. As for me, you uphold me in my integrity, and you set me in your presence forever. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen." Now David says in verse 10, "Be gracious to me, O Lord, and raise me up." Some people have applied that to Jesus. Oh, this is a type of Jesus. Jesus is saying to the Father, "Raise me out of the grave so that I may be resurrected on the third day." Now, that's the kind of typology that is not certain, and I don't like that kind of typology because you just don't know. I mean, it could be, but I can't prove it, so I'll let you speculate all you want. David says, "I want to be raised up that I may repay them." He means raised up from his sickbed, raised up from his degradation, his weakness, his situation, that he may repay his enemies. Oh, is that imprecation? Is that vengeance? Is that revenge that David is hoping for? No. As Jameson Fawcett Brown says, quote, "A lawful punishment of criminals is not revenge, nor inconsistent with their final good." In other words, criminals need to be punished. Keeps them from doing more crime, because their evil will not be stayed unless they are punished. We've talked about this imprecatory psalm problem over and over again, and remember, if it's private, it's vengeance, and God doesn't like that. But if it's public, if it's the state, David was a king, remember, it's not private vengeance, it's public vengeance. God's enemies and the enemies of Israel need to be punished and chastised. David says in verse 12, "As for you, you uphold me, God, in my integrity." And once again, that just means that David is not guilty of what his enemies are accusing him of. David is not trying to claim that he is self-righteous, that he is so righteous that he is sinlessly perfect, even as Adam was before Adam ate the fruit. No, he's just saying, I'm innocent of what my enemies are accusing him of. I'm not sinlessly perfect. I'm not claiming that, but I'm right about what I'm being accused of. David finishes his psalm, as he usually does, verses 12 and 13 on a very high note. Verse 12, he says, God, you uphold me. You set me in your presence forever. Now, that could be forever temporally or forever temporally plus eternally. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. That sounds like eternally. As Adam Clark says, from that which had no beginning to that which has no end. Blessed be the Lord. Now, when David says, blessed be the Lord, that means happy be the Lord. Because when God blesses us, he gives us something good. But when we bless God, we praise him. And so that's what David's doing. He's saying, praise be the Lord, the God of Israel, forever and ever. Amen and amen. Amen means so be it. So he's saying, so be it and so be it. That's it. End of story. Blessed be the Lord. Well, on that high note, we finished Psalm 41. And now we are prepared to go to Psalms 42 in our next audio, which I will entitle, Why Are You Cast Down, O My Soul? This is another psalm where David's a little bit depressed and needs to be cheered up. I hope you stay tuned for that audio, and I hope you enjoy this one.